One of my favorite hymns says, "All things bright and beautiful, all things great and small, all things wise and wonderful, the Lord God made them all." Amen this morning for all of the incredible things that God makes, and sometimes we forget to notice, sometimes we forget to say thank you. And I will tell you, my joy was good coming in this morning. It just now doubled because we have two babies in here this morning, and so it is good to have Kyle and Kinley with us this morning. Take a moment, if you will, to look at all of the activities that are in the bulletin. We have things all the way through August. One thing that we are starting today is the school supply drive, and it's a tad bit different than it's been in the past, in the sense that we are, with Presbyterian Children's Homes and Services, they sent us a list of young people from elementary to high school who need supplies. And so rather than us just going and buying tons of notebooks and tons of pencils, and perhaps nobody buys erasers, nobody buys notebook, or what else do we have? Scissors. Somebody doesn't buy scissors. What we have done is in the cloister, you will find a table, and there are the supplies that are listed out, and you can choose if you wish to go and buy 10 number two pencils, or go with someone and buy 10 number two pencils, or you can look at that list, and if you can supply an entire kit for these kids, then go for it. But if you would like to purchase some, you can go out in the cloister and sign up, and we will be gathering those very soon for PCHAS. This morning, leaving out to Magnolia, Texas, to be the hands, the feet, the heart, the work of our Lord. We had our youth. We had Lily, Jesse, Jacob, and Mason, who is Blair's nephew, great nephew, and Gary and Katie. And so they headed out this morning in what I think will prove to be an incredibly wonderful experience, but also hot and humid and dirty. So please keep them in your prayers. And as Jacob said, prayers for their going and prayers for their coming home. Also this morning, keep in prayer all of those who are attending General Assembly, our national gathering of Presbyterian laypersons, pastors, administrators is happening, and prayers for them as they try to discern many, many things about PCUSA and things that are going on there. You can log on to the General Assembly website if you would like to follow issues and discussions that are going on. Our very own Lisa Wika, who has preached here before, has been on a visioning committee called the 2020 Visioning Committee, looking at the church and its future. And I'm excited to see what they're saying and can't wait to hear what the report comes back on that. The others, things we have in our announcements this morning, are our joys and our concerns. So we ask that you take a look at those and keep those persons in your prayer every day, all week long. And last but not least, I would like all of the men in the congregation to stand, if you will. Miss Joe, you can stand if you want to. These men are fathers, they are father figures, they are mentors, they are guides and directors. not only for the things that we have to teach children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, but they are for those that I think everyone that they come in contact with. And so this morning, we are very grateful for every man who is here and for all men. And if you don't mind, I would like to begin our service this morning with a prayer, giving thanksgiving to God for you. Let us pray. Lord, hear our thanksgiving for new fathers who are coming to terms with a new responsibility, for those who are trying to balance the demands of work and marriage and children. And Lord, we give our thanksgiving not only to fathers, but to all men who serve as father figures. And bless all who commit themselves selfishly as mentors and protectors and providers. Bless them as they are shaping the direction of a child's character by giving love and care and guidance. And I pray, Lord, that they will feel your presence, your wisdom, and your love with them always. This morning, we thank you for their dedication and their patience as they seek to be a source of compassion and understanding when they are shaping a young life. And so be strength for all fathers and all men, that they may lead children to know and to do what is right and what is good in your sight, living, Lord, not for themselves alone, but for you and for others. Hear our prayer and bless the men who are gathered here today and all who love children as you love us, your children. Amen. Let us worship the Lord.
Thank you. It is good to give thanks to the Lord, to sing praises to your name, O Most High. For you, O Lord, have made me glad by your work. At the works of your hands, I sing for joy.
How great are your works, O Lord.
Y'all be seated, please. Okay. This is the place where we stand in the presence of the one who longs to shape us into new people. So let us ask our loving God to forgive us as we pray, saying,
sin. Christ has come into the world. Christ has taken upon those things himself. And because of that, we are now filled with the new life of God. We know that we are forgiven. We know that we are loved. We know that we are in peace. And so now the Lord says, step out in faith to live and to be my people. Thanks be to God.
Let us open our hearts in prayer. Prepare us, O God, to hear your word today through scripture, through song, through prayer. Remind us that through your word and the work of Jesus Christ, you call us to ministry throughout the whole world. Bless now the reading, hearing, and living out of your word. Amen.
The scripture reading this morning comes from 2 Corinthians chapter 5, the first 17 verses. Hear now the word of the Lord. So if anyone is in Christ,
in Christ,
in the body of Christ,
in the truth of Christ,
in the freedom of Christ,
in the love and the hope and the grace of Christ, and if anyone is in Christ,
there it is.
Look.
Look again.
There it is.
A new creation.
New.
Creation.
Like the first creation.
When God the Spirit hovered over the waters.
a light where there was darkness, life where there was chaos, and breath into flesh.
First creation, only now everything old.
The old order of things
has passed away.
Look,
everything has become new.
Look again.
What is new has arrived.
No need to remember past events. No need to think what was before.
Now a new heaven and a new earth, the place where righteousness will be at home.
New creation. All this comes from God. A taste of the time.
When hunger and thirst, death and mourning, crying and pain
are no more.
Are swallowed up.
All this comes from God, the author and the finisher of our faith.
The fountain of life.
Of living waters.
Of refuge, rock, our salvation.
All this comes from God.
In God.
In Christ.
And so now.
Now is the day of our salvation.
As new creations in Christ.
As reconciled to God through Christ.
And now in Jesus Christ.
As you who were once far away have been brought near to God through Christ, where he has made peace.
He himself is our peace, becoming sin who knew no sin.
By his death on the cross.
This is the righteousness of God.
As new creatures in Christ.
We are now ambassadors for Christ.
Appointed and anointed agents. Trusted agents.
Called in righteousness.
Given the ministry of reconciliation.
To be a covenant for the people.
And so now that we are reconciled, we are called to reconcile.
We urge you
to be reconciled to God.
As we work together with him,
accept this grace of God. Now is the day of our salvation.
As we become ambassadors for Christ, standing firm in Christ.
As God's righteousness, as God's handiwork, making God's appeal through each of us, God's ambassadors.
Now is the day of salvation.
God is in you.
Recreating you in Christ.
Now is the day of salvation.
New creation, new creatures in Christ.
All of this comes from God.
Amen.
Thank you.
Our second reading this morning comes from the New Testament, Mark's Gospel, the fourth chapter, verses 26 through 34. Listen again for the word of the Lord. He, meaning Jesus, also said, "The kingdom of God is as if someone were to scatter seed on the ground and would sleep and would rise in the day, and the seed would sprout and it would grow, and he doesn't know how. The earth produces of itself first the stalk, then the head, and then the full grain in the head. But when the grain is ripe at once, he goes in with his sickle because the harvest has come." He also said, Jesus said, "With what can we compare the kingdom of God, or what parable will we use for it? Well, it's like a mustard seed, which will be sown upon the earth. It is the smallest seed on the earth, and yet when it is sown, it grows up and it becomes the greatest of all shrubs. And it puts forth these large branches so that the birds of the air can have nest in the shade." With such many parables, Jesus spoke the word to him as they were able to hear it. He didn't speak to them except in parables, but then he explained everything in private to his disciples. This morning, may our ears be like those of the disciples. May we hear what the Lord is saying to us, and in particularly to you and to me. This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Webster's dictionary defines seedy in this way: somewhat disreputable, inferior in quality and condition. But it also defines it as containing or full of seeds, capable of producing and reproducing. Shady is defined like this: of questionable merit, disreputable, and also situated in or full of shade, the blocking of the sun's rays. God saw all that God had created, and God said, "It is good. It is very good." Production and reproduction, shade and shelter were provided. And then sin broke through the ground and planted seedy and shady. But what God created and planted within creatures and within creation is still very, very good. And guess what? We're both of those. We are seedy, and we're seedy. We're shady, and we're shady. You agree? Yeah, we are. We confess it every Sunday. But the good news for us is that God can take all of those seedy things in our life that are good. That goodness that God planted in us from the very beginning of time, God will take that and transform them into shady places where not only are we sheltered under the care of the Master Gardener, you and I can become shade for one another. Here's the dirt, though, if you will. God wants us to want to be transformed. Let me say that again. God wants us to want to be transformed. And knowing this, Jesus does some of his best preaching and his teaching with parable because he's, in a sense, like us. He knows that quite often the best way to get a point across or to illustrate something is to tell a story. And in this case, parables. Stories, lessons that are meant to turn things upside down in order to see the world as God intends it to be. But in this divine plan of free will, Jesus didn't go around pulling out scrolls, looking up reference numbers and sections and saying, here, this is what you need to do in this situation. If you do this, you will have a reward. Parables are intended to give the listener, to give you and to give me the opportunity to hear for ourselves what God is saying, even still in our day, and he will in the days to come. I'm always awed when someone says to me after a sermon, "You know, when you said blah, 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 it really touched me." I have to admit, it would be really easy to get sort of puffed up and proud that I was able to touch someone. But the thing about it is, I generally go back to my sermons and I look, and I never said blah, blah, blah. The Spirit talks through me, using my words. But they're the Spirit's message to you and to me. The Spirit lets us hear different things because the Spirit knows what level of spiritual growth and maturity we need in our own lives. It keeps us preacher types humble. So Jesus, through parables, gives us shady and seedy sinners that we are a chance to see us as God sees us, good seeds that God will use to be shade and protection and comfort and even a respite for those who are in dry times, those who have weary souls, when we will open ourselves up to let the Spirit grow that seed within us. And think about all of those things that the Spirit can grow in us. They're already there, but the Spirit can grow them. love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. We have these wonderful good fruits inside of us already, and we are standing in the middle of the richest, most fertile soil that we will ever ask for. God is our dirt. God is our foundation upon which we can grow. And sometimes our faith may ask us to get a little dirty. It may ask us to do big things. But mostly Jesus tells us and we, the church, that being faithful in small things is good for kingdom planting, being shelter for those who come seeking shade and solace, and most certainly seeking eternal life. God is the growth, but this parable does not release us from responsibility, and yet it shatters any kind of illusion that you and I may have that we have the kingdom, its growth, in our own hands alone. We're just the kingdom workers. The Lord is the kingdom saver. Because with or without us, God's kingdom seeds are going to grow. And what does that mean? What does that look like? Well, I think first it means that people trust the Lord as their Savior. They trust Him as their King. What does it look like? Well, it looks like the gift of saving grace when we practice love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, and gentleness. Kingdom planting, kingdom building, the kingdom of God looks like loving the Lord with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving self, or loving others as we love self. The truth is this. When I ask Christ to be the Lord of my life, I chose to be transformed. And it is my responsibility and is my calling as a disciple to be planted and even replanted where and when the Spirit most needs the seeds of the good fruits in me for shelter and for kingdom building. But with this parable, Jesus also drives home the truth that the good soil, meaning God's kingdom as God created it to be, it has its own sort of internal regeneration, because underneath it all, beneath the seed and the shade and the sun and the water and the air and all of those other things that help us grow, God, through the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ, is the reason for the harvest. Period. But what a joy. What an honor, what a responsibility to be invited by God to partner in this planting. Preacher Fred Craddock told a Hebrew story, and it goes something like this. When the great rabbi Israel Shem Tov saw misfortune was threatening the Jews, it was his custom to go to a certain part of the forest to meditate. There he would light a fire, he would say a special prayer, and the miracle would be accomplished, misfortune averted. And later, when his disciple, the celebrated Rabbi Mishkaf, had need to avoid catastrophe, he would go to the same place in the forest, and he would say, "Master of the universe, listen. I don't know how to light the fire, but I'm still able to say the prayer." And again, the miracle would be accomplished. And still later, Rabbi Liab, in order to save the people once more, would go to the forest and he would say, "I do not know how, to light the fire. I don't know the words to the prayer, but I know this place, and this must be sufficient. And it was, and the miracle was accomplished. Then it fell to Rabbi Israel to save God's people. This rabbi sat in his armchair with his head in his hands, and he spoke to God, and he said, I am unable to light the fire. I don't know the prayer. I can't even find that place in the forest. All I can do is tell the story of the place, the fire, and the prayer, and I hope that it will be sufficient. And it was sufficient. The people were saved because all along God has done the saving. God's kingdom, like a mustard seed, Jesus proclaims, isn't something that you and I can control. But the good and the challenging news for us is that Jesus doesn't work solo. He uses our hearts, he uses our minds, our voices, he uses our hands, he uses our wallets to bring seeds of mercy, understanding, hope, compassion. Where there is need for shade, he lets us be comfort and care and respite for others. Sometimes Jesus, though, reminds us that making the right conditions for kingdom building might mean getting our own egos out of the way. Remembering that there is someone far more powerful at work in us and in the world. So stand back and in awe and amazement, look at all that God is already doing, and then let ourselves be planted there instead of where we choose to be planted. When we think of Mark's tiny seed surrounded by all of the good soils and ourselves being planted right in the middle of it, it reminds me that we are surrounded by love and grace, the grace and love of our triune God, who nurtures us, who nourishes us, who strengthens us through absolutely no effort of our own. It is given to us simply as a gift. I'm going to take a big leap here, but I promise it's going somewhere. As of late, my mind seems to wander, kind of like the dog in the movie Up when he's going and squirrel. So this one is coming back, I promise you. And speaking of squirrels, when we first moved to the country of Combine, USA, I worried that first winter about all of those squirrels that were in our yard and the cold. They would run around in the snow, but I knew that they didn't have an electric blanket in the garage like we had for our cats, Katie and Gracie. And so I Googled squirrels, and I found out that their furry little tails that wag in the summer and the spring and the fall, they're sort of like God's own electric blanket for the squirrels. They simply go to their nest. They put that tail over them, and they are warm, just as if someone else had provided warmth for them. I didn't have to do anything to make sure that they were comfortable. And I loved them all the way until the fall. And still they started filling those little cheeks with all of the fiber inside my patio chairs. I still love them, but I put my patio chairs up now so they can't do that. And I'm always in awe when I look at our backyard and look all the way to the fence, and in the dead of winter, we can see our neighbor's house. We can see our neighbors. And then one day, a little bit of green starts budding on those trees, and before long, there is a whole forest of green, and we can no longer see our neighbors, but we have the beauty of God's new creation coming to life. And God takes care of all of that. And God, through Jesus Christ, continues to take care of us, sometimes without us even knowing what all is goes on within our living. And so I want to close with a couple of suggestions that I read from a meditation on this passage, ones that I fully intend to do from time to time. So here, first, pause in your own yards. Stand still enough to allow yourself and all of your senses to take note of what God is doing without any effort on your part. And then next, take a look around our church. Take a look around our community to see where life is springing up. Get close enough to marvel at what God is already doing without our help. And then jump in feet first and be God's eyes and ears and hands and feet, voice and heart. Then share what you notice. That's what Jesus did. He shared what he noticed that God was doing. God saw all that God had created and said, it is very, very good. Production and reproduction were good. Shade and shelter were provided. And the good news for us is that God still takes all of those seedy things in us that are good from the beginning of time and transforms them into shady places where not only are we sheltered under the care of the Master Gardener, by the power of the Spirit in us, we can be shelter for one another. Amen.
Would y'all stand with me, please, while we say what we believe? In our standing, in our saying, in our hearts, may we believe the faith we affirm this day together.
This morning, as we join our hearts together in prayer, we remember with gratitude and thanksgiving to God for life, even as we grieve death. We remember Lois's sister's great-granddaughter. We remember Stella. We remember all who are traveling, all who are being God's hands and feet and voices and heart this morning. We give thanksgiving for the great news that Janice has heard, and we pray great news for all who are suffering from illness and disease. And we remember and give thanks to God for the life of Wilbur Pierce. We remember that we are invited this coming Saturday at 2:00 to celebrate his life and to be witness to the resurrection of Jesus Christ in and through him and us. We are invited by the family to come and to celebrate his life. This morning we pray this and we pray many things. Let us go to God. God of life and death, God of great and small, a God of the seedy and the shady. Lord, we give thanksgiving this morning that you have gathered us into this place, that through the power of your Spirit, you have scattered some seeds around this morning. And Lord, I pray that those seeds will grow in us in ways and in places that you would have us go and things that you would have us do. Lord, we give thanksgiving for all who serve as seeds of faith and hope and love for others. And this morning we ask that not only will you be here with this congregation, Lord, with our mission, with our ministry, with the discernment of what seeds we have and how we scatter those seeds and how we let you grow them and how you let us help you harvest them. Not only here, Lord, but in all the places that are called the body of Christ. May we, Lord, as disciples and as the Lord's church, remember that we are good. And the world needs good, God. So let us be love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and gentleness in order that those who need your love will come and will profess that Jesus Christ is the Lord of their life. All of those prayers, Lord, that are on our hearts and on our minds, all of those that are so deep that we can't even find the words to speak them, we are grateful that your Spirit speaks for us to you. And so now, Lord, hear the prayers of our hearts. And we give thanksgiving to you, God, for your Son, Jesus Christ, who tells us stories, and your Spirit, who helps us understand those stories, and for all who surround us, who help us live out those stories in our lives. For the gift of your Son, Jesus Christ, we now come to you and we pray as he taught us to pray, saying, straight from the mouth of the psalmist. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless God's holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and don't ever let me forget all of God's good blessings. May we receive God's tithes.
Please pray with me. God of generosity,
these gifts we give to you, I see you in your church and so in the world. Remember that God is so in your mercies, you alone are the giver of the earth and our hearts. Help us to be conscious of where we invest the seeds of our lives, in our families, in our church, in our communities, and in places around the world and in the other city. But where you want our lives and the growth of our hearts. Help us to remember that all of the gifts have their start in the generous ministry. In Christ's name we pray. Amen.
Ask you to bear with me for just a moment. In the bulb there is a flower, in the seed an apple tree, in cocoons a hidden promise, butterflies will soon be free. In the cold and the snow of winter there's spring that waits to be, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. There's a song in every silence, seeking word and melody. There's a dawn in every darkness, bringing hope to you and me. From the past will come the future, what it holds, a mystery, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. In our end and in our beginning, in our time, infinity, in our doubt, there is believing, and in our life, eternity. In our death, a resurrection, and the last, a victory, unrevealed until its season, something God alone can see. I cannot end this service without thinking of a good seed. Nancy. This was Nancy's favorite hymn, and we sang it at her memorial. We need to be those kind of seeds, folks. Let God live in you in such a way that not only does your spirit grow, but the spirits of others grow through you. May the love of God surround us. May the peace and presence of the Lord be in us. And may the Spirit go before us, giving us faith, hope, love, and the growth that we need to be followers.